Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Pastor Mike is coming. He is going to share with you on the purpose of fellowship this morning. Welcome, Pastor Mike, to the platform, would you?
Thank you, Pastor Barry. If you look at your bulletin, you were here 2 weeks ago, you probably have a sense of deja vu. You're thinking, I've seen this. Because Pastor Barry was going to speak on this 2 weeks ago. And so he had everything all prepared and gave it to Cindy and Pam. They had the bulletin made up. And a couple days before that, we had lunch, and he goes, I'd like for you to take one of these purposes. He goes, you can have fellowship, or you can have discipleship. And not knowing that he had already given everything for fellowship to Pam and Cindy, I said, I'll take fellowship. He said, all right. So that's why when you came here, he had to kind of change gears that Sunday. Apologize for that, but that's okay. And I think I probably surprised him a little bit because if some of you know, if you've been here for a little while, I was the discipleship point person. I think he probably thought I would take that, so I probably threw him a curve when I said fellowship. And the reason I did that was because it's a word that's really spoken to me a lot lately, because I think we forget that there's two separate meanings behind fellowship. We just practiced one a moment ago when we crossed the aisles. We took action. We went over. We connected with people. And most often, that's what we see fellowship as. Often, it seems to involve a meal. We're sitting down and eating, and we are fellowshipping. Churches used to have fellowship dinners. And I catch myself sometimes when I'm with people. We'll sit down, and we'll be sharing a meal. And if I'm the one to praise, I will say thank you for this time of fellowship. And that's not wrong, because we are fellowshipping. It is important to make those connections and to take that action. But what we miss is that fellowship is also a noun. As a matter of fact, when I look in my concordance, fellowship, noun, friendship, association, company, partnership. You're part of something. You're not just taking an action and reaching out to people. You are actually becoming a part of something. And we see that in so many areas of life. Some of them are obvious. For example, when I was in high school, I played football, and I was a member of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Just in the name, it implies that that fellowship is a group. It's coaches and players who are able to get together and explore their faith. Sometimes it's not as obvious, or you may not think of it as a fellowship. Another one that I'm proud to be a member of is Steelers Fan Club. Most of you know I'm a Steelers fan. Steeler Nation, but it seems like everybody has a nation. But a few years ago, it was probably like around 2003, I'd met a buddy of mine, and the Steelers were playing on Sunday night, and we went to Ozzy's over in Westport to watch the football game and just hang out. And I had a Steelers shirt on. And when I got there, I said, can we sit in the dining room? And they said, the dining room's closed. You got to sit over in the bar area. I said, I'm okay, that's fine. So I go over there. My friend comes in. We sit down. Well, then I see other people come in. And somebody sees me with a Steelers shirt on. Hey, come over here and watch the game with us. And I thought, yeah, you're not going over there to watch the game because they told me that area is closed. I said, no, I'm good. Well, it turned out it wasn't closed if you were part of that Steeler fan club. And a couple years later, I found out that they actually, ever since Ozzy's had opened, there had been a group of Steeler fans that met there faithfully every week to watch Steeler games. So about 2005, Carmen and I started going over there and watching games. And we did. We became a part of a fellowship because we were hanging out with the crowd. We were getting to know the people. They were getting to know us. And it's like we were part of a family. And I'm not one who's really big on Super Bowl parties. I kind of like to actually watch it myself, typically because, and if you do them, and if I step on toes, I apologize up front, because a lot of times most people are at Super Bowl parties, really don't care about football. They're just there to eat and eat. And, and I want to watch the game. I'm there to watch the game. And especially if I got a dog in the game, I'm really wanting to watch the game. But Super Bowl 43, and I know this is painful for a lot of Kurt Warner fans out there, but when the Steelers beat the Cardinals in the Super Bowl, we went to Ozzie's and watched it. And that was probably the most fun I've had experience in a sporting event, because we just had that place packed. And at halftime, they even brought us a cake out for the Steeler fans. And there was one little corner where there were some Cardinal fans, and I ran into a guy in the bathroom, and he goes, "What is with all this Steeler stuff?" I go, "Man, this is Steeler country here. He was shocked to hear that. A couple years later, Ozzie's closed. And then they moved down to Washington, and they closed once they moved down there. But that group kind of dissipated then. It kind of fell apart. And I had a hole. I mean, there was like something missing in my life, because I was missing being able to share that with those people. A few years ago, then, we had went to Chicago, Carmen and I did, for our anniversary. And the Steelers are going to be playing the Patriots, so, you know, that is a big game. And I said, thank you. And by the way, if you are, you know, with the Rams gone, we will take you. We will accept you as a Steelers fan, so. But I said, I gotta watch that game. So I started looking for places, and I found a place called Durkin's. It was a few miles from the hotel. And when you look at their webpage, there was a Steeler emblem there. I said, that's where we're going to watch the game. So it was a late afternoon game. So in the morning, we had some time to kill, and we had our uniform on, you know, our jerseys, and somebody stopped us. That's what we do. When we see other Steeler fans, we stop and we talk, because we are part of a community, a fellowship. And they said, "Oh, are you going to Durkin's to watch the game?" I said, "Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, we are." And he goes, "Oh, it's a great place to watch the game." Turned out it was two couples were there from here, from St. Louis area. They're actually from Wentzville. They were up there specifically to go watch the game at this place, because they had experienced it once and they had so much fun that they do it once a year. They make a trip up there to watch the game. So that's not very obvious, but that is a fellowship, because there's an association. You're making a connection. You know, and God realized how important that was right at the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 18, "Then the Lord said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.' So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But there was still no helper right just for him. All these things that God was bringing to him, there was still something he wasn't connecting with. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to the man." And look at what his reaction was. "At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. All these other things you have brought me are great, but they're not me. They're not what I am. Finally, you've brought me something that I can relate to. She will be called woman because she was taken from the man." So right away, God realized that how important fellowship was. So we've been looking over the past few weeks now in Acts chapter 2. Try to get that. That's a long way to turn from Genesis to Acts there. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47, and we've been looking at the banners. And as I read through this passage again, I see the transition that takes place from the beginning of the passage of fellowship as an action over to fellowship as a part of being something, as a noun. Peter and the apostles have been out preaching to the people. They're leading people to Christ. And we have all these believers, and they needed to get them into, as a matter of fact, my Bible says at the beginning of this passage, it says the believers form a community. It was time for them to come together as one. And so that's what's taking place here. Verse 42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals. So meals are part of fellowship. I kind of joked about that earlier. Meals are part of fellowship, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. So this is the action part. They're doing things together. But then we start to see a transition take place starting in verse 43. A deep sense of awe came over them, and all the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Coming together, sharing, being a part of one. As I read through that, I was thinking of my neighbors. They moved into their home in March of 2008. We moved in May 2008. They have two boys, 7 and 4. We have 2 children, 7 and 6 in our house. And these kids have grown up together. And we have become really tight with this couple. Now, the one area where we gap a little bit is age. I'm 55. Carmen's a little south of 55. And they're 31. But we tease that they are the oldest 31-year-olds we know. But since we have really made a connection, we joke that we have a commune. Because we just share in so much of life together. We do Bible studies together. We do outreach into the community. This past Memorial Day, we rented a bounce house together. We barbecued and we invited people over from the neighborhood and from other friends and that to come over and just hang out with us. Matter of fact, it gets to the point, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are here tonight. They got to experience a little bit of it, last night because the 7-year-old came over to our house. The back door was open and he just walked right in. They're like, oh, so this is how you guys do it. And I said, yeah, we just go in and out. There's no knocking on doors or anything like that. As a matter of fact, last summer, the little one, he came into our house one day, walked into the house, walked to the freezer, took out a box of popsicles and walked right out with it. What's ours is his. So that's right. It's a huge example, though, of fellowship. That is what it's all being all about. And when we get to verse 47, it says, all while the praising of God and enjoying the goodwill of the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship. Now it's not an action, it's a group, it's a part of being something. The Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And folks, I got to tell you right now, we are seeing that in our men's group. These guys are killing fellowship, let me tell you. It started with connecting, and now it's part of being something. And the first night before we had our first activity, we decided to kick off with a movie night. We had 18 guys show up to watch Field of Dreams, which if any of you were here beginning of the year, you know that's my favorite movie. God gave me a whole message around that movie. And I went home that night and Carmen, it was late, so she was getting ready to go to bed, so we just kind of greeted, and go to bed. And she gets up a little bit before I do, so she got up and left for work. I kissed her, have a great day. Then I talked to her on the phone and we're talking a little bit and I'm starting to get actually a little frustrated because she did not ask about the movie night. I said, you haven't asked about what happened last night. She goes, well, why would I ask you about a movie you've seen 5,000 times? I go, it's not about the fact that I watched Field of Dreams and 5,000 may be a conservative number. It's the fact that we had 18 guys up there watching it, 18 guys together to watch that movie. And then she's like, oh, okay, now I get it. And since then, we have really kicked off some great things. And as I go over them real quick, I got 3 guys I would like to come up. They're going to share just a little bit with you. Bob, Rick, and Larry, if you would go ahead and come on up. We've kind of had 3 phases now of what's taken place with Ben's ministry. The first one was a retreat We had 24 guys at Camp Mahaska in Bourbon, Missouri. It was incredible to see these guys starting to make connections with one another and open up. And then when we came back from that, we went into our Tuesday night activities. We started with a book study, no matter the cost. We would have anywhere from 20 to 25 guys on Tuesday night going through that book. And guys really opening up and sharing really deep stuff about what's going on in their heart and in their lives. And then this last weekend, we took a trip to Springfield. And I'm going to tell you, because one of the wives said, where was the devotion time? Where was the time of worship? We didn't have any of that. Guys could do it on their own, which we totally encourage, but it was just about continuing to make connections. So the reason I've asked these three gentlemen to come up is because they've each one have inserted themselves at a different phase of what we've been doing. And I just wanted them to share a little bit about what's been taking place. And I'm going to start with Bob. Bob went to Springfield with us, so we're going to start in reverse order. Bob went to Springfield, and that was the first activity he was able to be a part of. And he had shared some things with Pastor Barry and I about what that trip meant to him. So Bob, if you could just take a couple minutes and share with us.
One thing I heard Mike say there was the fellowship was eating, I guess, together. And we did a lot of that. We did some we shouldn't have done, and I found that out at the, Whole Hog Barbecue. And I shouldn't have done that before I went to bed. And then Andy's ice cream after that. So the next night I said, okay, we had to break up and kind of smaller groups because 20 or 22 of us couldn't fit into most restaurants very easily. So we split off, and that second night they were ordering, I think Barry and somebody ordered wings. It's 10:30 at night. Wings, are you kidding me? And then Gene had some hot nachos, which I ate one of, and boy. And so the waitress said, what do you have? And I said, a glass of water. And I said, I'll split that with anybody that wants to split it, but just water, because I was going to sleep that night. But, you know, at all of those eating places and the ice cream and the ball game and everything we did, and we lost the ball game. It would have been nice to see a winning ball game, but it wasn't really about that. It was about what Mike said. It's about the fellowship. And it was just a really, really great time. And then, you know, then there was Branson. Most of us went to Branson. And I realized that, speaking of fellowship, there's a psalm, I think, that says something about those who have sweet fellowship walk in the house of God. I realized that was talking about Kilwins. The fudge store. And it was referring to that. I just know it was, that's what that was all about. But you know, all those things we did, the places we ate and everything else, it wasn't really all about that. It was about the fellowship. And it occurred to me a while ago while Mike was talking too that this is a fellowship here, right here. It's a fellowship. And that's what it's all about. And the greatest thing that happened with me was that I got to spend 3 days with my son. And I have not done that probably since Royal Rangers. And that's a long time ago. So it was just a great time all the way around, but that's what it was about, was fellowship.
Thank you, Bob. We had three father and sons. We had Rick and Bob, Dan and Daniel Edmondson, and Bill O'Brien and his dad. Just being able to take that time to spend together. And Bill's dad had actually came on the retreat with us, so I guess we didn't scare him away too much because he came and went to Springfield with us. So, but it was really great to be able to have that time together. So the next person I want to have come is Rick Tidwell. Rick was unable to go on the retreat with us, but ever since we kicked off the Tuesday evening activities, Rick has been heavily involved in what we're doing on Tuesday nights, and he also went to Springfield with us. So, Rick, if you could share a couple of things.
Yeah, as Mike said, I came in about the time that they were starting to do the Bible study, which was really a good time to connect. The Before that, I've been actively involved in the church, evangelism team, teaching the children, teaching the youth, working the sound booth a little bit. There's a lot of things that I do. But that connection was missing. It was not there. There was no real connection with anyone or anybody really in the church other than coming and doing the service I did. When we started the Bible study, at first I was a little bit leery, but I said, you know, I'm going to go to this because I need to have a connection. It was missing, and I knew that connection was missing. The Bible study really opened up myself to other men in the church. And that has been a tremendous blessing for me, especially with this time in my life of what we're going through as a family. To be able to talk and say to every, you know, to these guys and say, this is what I've been going through, and have some of them give you that encouragement you need, it's a tremendous thing. When we went to Springfield last weekend, I drove down with two people I did not know. And I got to know Travis a little bit, and I got to know Marty a little bit. And that was a great time. We went through all the things that Bob was talking about. We went fishing. We went to Kilwin's, to a lot of different places in Springfield. It was a great time. It was a good time to make those connections. And it's something that if you're not involved with it, you need to, because that fellowship is very important, that closer-knit fellowship, not just coming and saying hi on Sunday morning, but being here for the other things and special activities that are going on, cell groups, other things like that. That fellowship is really important. And that brought it back to my forefront. It's not always being active in the church, but being active in the fellowship as well. So I hope that if you're not involved with something, that you do get connected somewhere.
Thank you, Rick. And finally, the last person I want to ask to share a little bit. And Larry, the clock is gone. That doesn't mean you have all the time you need. So, Larry, true to his Baptist roots, has been here every time the door is opened on a men's activity. He's been here every Tuesday night. Not only has he been here every Tuesday night, he has been a big help to me because he sets up chairs, makes sure we have everything together. We had a movie night a couple weeks ago, and I had told the guys, bring a soda, and I'll bring some popcorn. I was just going to go to Deerberg or something, buy some popcorn. Larry said, hey, we got that popcorn machine. I'll set that thing up. He set it up, popped popcorn. We used a kid's zone back there, and it was just like a little theater. You could smell the popcorn coming out of there, and we went in and watched the movie and had a great time. And then Larry went to Springfield with us as well. So, Larry, if you could just take a couple minutes to share what's been going on in your heart.
Thank you. I thought about it a little bit this week and about what to share. And, you know, to me, fellowship is accountability. And that's really what I needed. When I first came here to St. Charles River Church, I came here because I needed an accountability group. And that's where Celebrate Recovery came in. And I went through that. We quit doing Celebrate Recovery a couple of years ago. And ever since then, I was kind of searching for something. I needed that accountability. I needed the fellowship. And then the men's group started. So I thought, man, it was just perfect to be able to come into that. I know when Mike first started doing discipleship stuff, he did a thing with, what's John's last name? John Eldridge. Yeah, the Wild at Heart thing. And I went to that because I needed that. And that was really good for me, to be able to go to that and develop some friendships in there. But that's what's really important to me is about the whole thing. It's not just getting together and having a good time, even though that's good. It's about being able to share with each other. When we did this book study, No Matter the Cost, we actually had a share time in there that was pretty intense. You don't think about guys getting together and doing that stuff. Yeah, women do that. but this was good because the guys got together and they shared from their hearts. And that builds a bond among the other guys. When you get to hear guys, when you get to actually cry with other guys. You ever hear that before? Guys eating together and crying with each other? You don't. But it happened. Believe me. It was a powerful, powerful time in our life when we were able to hear other men's stories and be able to connect with them. You know, I know more things about some guys than I ever thought I would ever know about them. But it's good because it's important for us to be able to do that. The Bible tells us to confess our sins one to another. And it doesn't tell us that just because we want somebody to unload on. It's all about accountability. So, and that's what this group is building accountability within each other. So I'm getting to know guys, and it's good. It's good for us to be able to know the depth of one another and be able to work with each other, be able to pray with each other, and get to know each other on an intimate level. So,
thank you. Guys, go ahead and have a seat. Give them a huge hand here for coming up. And Ecclesiastes 4:12 reminds us that if you stand alone, you don't stand a chance really against the enemy. You can be easily defeated. If two come together, now you can start to cover each other a little bit. You can start to defend each other a little bit. But when you get three or more, when you get three, then you have a cord, a bond that's not easily broken. And that's what we're trying to work for, not only with the men. We want to do this in everything. Ladies, there's opportunities out there and things that we talk about fellowship that you may not think of as being part of a fellowship or fellowshipping, but there's some great things out there that you can do. Just look and see if it's something you're interested in. Maybe it may not even be something you're necessarily interested in, but it's just a time to get to know one another. So look for those opportunities. Father, we just thank you right now for this time that you've given us to look at your word that you have about fellowship and your calling to us to not only do the action of fellowship and connecting with one another, Lord, and reaching out to others, but then also the noun of fellowship, of being part of a community, being one, pulling each other in together, supporting one another, Father. And I pray that if there's someone here today, Lord, who is just looking for a place of belonging, Lord, that you can lay them on someone's heart, open up their heart, and they will reach out and say, come be a part of our fellowship, Lord. Come be a part of our fellowship. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Carrie's going to come and take the offering.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.